Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Marvel, Marvel, Marvel.
Doctor Strange. Well, that was a strange one. You'll just have to sell that one to me because...
Yeah.
I'll just say it in one word. I was bored.
Interesting way to... I was very... To be honest, and some Marvel fan is going to give me crap for this, I was very confused because the movie opens with America... What's her name? America Chavez?
Yep.
And opens with her literally with no introduction. And then even Dr. Strange is like, who are you? And I was like, okay, so the opening is a character we don't know. And then the rest of it is just... I know this is what Marvel's doing at this phase, but it's not really a Doctor Strange movie. It's like progress the MCU through all of these characters coming together into one big movie.
Let's find a way of shoehorning everybody in as quickly as we can.
Because it's almost a Scarlet Witch movie more than it is a Strange movie. Like, she's in it.
She's actually on a
predominantly
journey.
Almost more than Strange is a few times.
Well, she's actually on a journey. Okay, so I mean, just to set the stage, Doctor Strange finds this young girl who has amazing powers where she can fall between multiverses without realizing why. And he thinks that possibly the Scarlet Witch, or rather Wanda, can help save her. And it turns out that actually she's got her own agenda where she wants to live a life in a reality where she can care for her two dream... How would you say dream?
I don't know.
All right, fake kids.
This is you're already confusing me trying to explain this. And
she wants a reality where she can live with her fake kids.
Yeah.
Stephen Strange is wrestling with the idea of somehow reversing time and living with a woman who's now gone off to marry somebody else. And there's a book that can make it all happen, and they're all chasing the book through multiple dimensions. That's it.
That was part of my problem, was I'm like, I don't really understand what the motivation and plot and goal of anyone is in this movie. I mean, half the reason is that I never watched the Wanda show, so I have no idea of her story.
Yeah.
And so, like, her coming in and being all this, like, there's a lot going on with her. I was like, I don't know why you have these powers and why you're so important. But aside from that, even Strange, I'm like, what is Strange's goal? Like, if this is a Doctor Strange movie, what is his... I don't want to say arc because, like, regardless of whether he has that or not, like, what is he supposed to be getting at in this film? Because even the opening, you're like, okay, he's just Strange. He's just doing his thing. I think he had way more of an important arc and way more of a goal in the Spider-Man movie
Completely. Than
he did in this one. Because he was driven by something, involved in helping Spider-Man and helping figure that out. Where here, it's just kind of this mess of what is Strange's point?
I think if Doctor Strange had been genuinely tempted by the prospect of an alternate outcome for his personal life, then I would sense some kind of inner conflict. But we just kind of did that already with Spider-Man, so you couldn't really tap on the same door twice.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I mean, and the other thing is that it's very much a Raimi movie. In good ways and bad ways. Like, I won't totally criticize it. In the bad way to me is that it's like, really kind of rough around the edges, clunky Raimi, which can work.
Yeah.
And has worked in the past. I mean, I love his early movies. But in this one, it kind of feels a bit weird to me. Like, again, adding to the confusion. However, the good stuff of Raimi to me is that I felt like he basically borrows from his three, in my opinion, his three best movies, which are Spider-Man, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And just, like, reuses a lot of these elements. There's a Necronomicon. Mm-hmm. There's an undead Strange from Army of Darkness. And then there's the Spider-Man 2 plot points of sacrifice and loving, how do I love as a superhero?
Sure.
And he takes all these themes from these great Raimi movies and, like, rehashes them into a Doctor Strange MCU movie, which is fun, but adds to the confusion of all of it. Because it's weird to me that they let Raimi do that, but in the process kind of muddied the bigger goal of this particular movie. Like, I have thought that Marvel was good at keeping directors focused with what they're doing. Like, come in, you don't really get to put your stamp on it besides your style, and the movie is kind of what the MCU and what Kevin Feige wants it to be because they have, you know, 10 years of plans. Whereas this came in, and I'm like, I feel like Raimi just... I mean, he's not credited. There's one screenwriter credit, but I feel like he rewrote the script almost to add his kind of touch to it, which kind of bothered me because I'm like, look, I love Raimi as a filmmaker, but he's hasn't made anything in a long time, and he has nothing to do with the MCU. They just kind of brought him in. Mm-hmm. It's strange to me. I don't know. What do you...
Here's the thing. It looks the part. Danny Elfman's doing the music. It sounds the part. There are some surprise arrivals, and you kind of go, oh, but they have nothing to do except deliver exposition. That is their job. That is their function.
Yeah.
This is probably, for my money, one of the most exposition-heavy Marvel movies that I think I've ever seen. And after we had such a wonderfully, how can I put it, lightweight... yet deep Spider-Man No Way Home, which managed to tackle the broad concepts of multiverses and yet not let it weigh down the action. What happened?
Yeah, yeah. It's also coming off of Everything Everywhere All at Once, where I think is one of the most beautiful examples of how to manage a multiverse concept and like take you through what it means and how it works for people and how it all connects. Then you go to this, and it's this kind of mess where it's almost like, I feel like they didn't understand what a multiverse is. Like, they need to go watch Everything Everywhere and be like, oh, this is how you do a multiverse movie, and then make this one. But this was already in production to the point where, like you're saying, the multiverse was handled better in Spider-Man, even though it was only three multiverses.
Sure.
Whereas here, they try to expand it more, but they just don't know what they're doing with it.
I think I set myself up for disaster by going to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once again last night. And, it is a film that delivers on the second, and I have a suspicion when I watch it the third and the fourth time, which is on the cards, it's going to pay off. And, yeah, again, the script police just arrived in the background, and I think they're looking for whoever was behind the Sam Raimi movie we just watched, because it just didn't have either the depth or the entertainment value that Everything Everywhere had, and also Spider-Man No Way Home. So
I'm always conflicted because I love Raimi, and I'm kind of like trying to, how do I say
it? I would argue that it wasn't Raimi enough.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I'm trying to watch it and think, oh, Raimi knows what he's doing. He knows how to give us a good fight scene. He knows that, especially because I love Spider-Man 2 and I love what he's done in the past. But there were just, like you said, there was never a moment where I was like, oh, wow, that was a cool fight. All of the fights and all of the happenings were kind of like, oh, okay. Like,
but that's the thing, is if I think back to sort of Spider-Man 2 and what have you, the thing I loved about those was that it was very operatic. Mm. It was very bold. The themes were very, very, very clear. And this is waiting in treacle.
I'm not sure. It's. Are we allowed to talk about spoilers? I don't know.
Well, want to give it let's away. See how we go.
Because the thing that most upset me was the waste of the... Well, I guess I can say Illuminati.
Yes, there is a grand council that holds Doctor Strange to account. Strangely missing from Spider-Man No Way Home. But hey, we'll skip that.
Yeah. Well, the other comparison I would say is that you look at Loki. Did you watch the Loki series?
Yes, I did see the Loki series.
Because that also has a moment where it's like he's going through time. He meets all the time people. And then he eventually ends up with... what's his name? I love this guy. Jonathan Majors. He plays like the Time Lord at the very end, final episode of Loki. And similarly, he's like in a chamber with like, you can see the multiverses around him. And even that was a better visualization and a better example of how to handle what is essentially the Illuminati, which is like this, you know, core of people that were put together to sort of manage the different worlds and multiverses.
Yeah.
And it handles it so much better. Whereas here, like, I was so upset by the fact that they introduce all these people and you're like, oh, cool, but not really cool. Like, I felt I felt very much like they were just paid to be there, not genuinely interested. And then what happens to them? I was like, are you kidding me? Again, because I don't know enough about Wanda to be like, why is she so cool? Or what is she doing?
Well, basically, to wrap up the Wanda TV series in a couple of sentences, she is in so much hurt and so much pain after losing her brother at the end of the Avengers. She takes over a town and she bewitches them all into manifesting her ideal reality, which is with her and Vision having this kind of domestic 2.4 kids life where they do have the kids and she's happy and satisfied. But obviously this is at the expense of entrapping human beings into doing her will, and the whole thing unravels where she's held to account.
I mean, okay, I just don't know why, whatever. Some hardcore Scarlet Witch fan is like, this guy doesn't understand anything about superheroes. I was like, why is Scarlet Witch this, like, whenever there's a superhero in any movie, I think I felt this like in the first Superman. I was like, whenever there's a superhero who is more powerful than everyone ever,
then you're kind of stuffed.
I'm like, you're in this weird position where you're like, okay, first things first, it's immediately imbalanced, and the story can never write that because they have these extraordinary powers. Secondly, what do you do with that? Because anyone you throw at them and anything that happens, they defeat them and they take them out. And then you're there like, so how do you ever control or contain this person? And half of this movie, not to totally give it away, but half of this movie is them trying to contain her.
Yeah.
And trying to it. And it's all this like, really, I thought the MCU had progressed past this. It's all this like really cheesy, boring, like he does his hand signs and makes a little ball of his strange energy and tries to contain her. And I'm like, that's it? Like, that didn't work 5 movies ago. Why do you think it's all of a sudden going to work here? Like, you got to have some more cool concepts of how to contain her. And they never do.
So who is the star? Who is the pick performance out of the film?
Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
Everyone knows he will be in it.
Everybody just stay for the end credits, because he nips it at the very, he nips it in the bud just at the end.
No, I'm there wasn't any one particular person in this that impressed me, to be honest with you. Even Cumberbatch, I was like, you're fine.
I don't think he was given anything to really wrestle with.
Yeah, I don't. None of them really stood out in any way.
I thought, actually, out of everybody, Elizabeth Olsen fared the best in the acting states, because her character actually had something to do.
And it's kind of like complex in her different roles.
Yeah, and there's a lot of emotions flying around and stuff. It was good for her. And in fact, in a way, I think she got to act more in this than she did in the TV show.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's just because the character was a little bit more dynamic.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't know. It's weird because normally I go into an MCU movie thinking I'm not gonna like this. I'm bored of it.
Yeah.
And then I end up really enjoying it.
Sure.
Like sometimes it just delivers. This was the opposite. I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. It's Raimi. Trailers look great. I'm gonna have a blast. And I didn't.
No,
and I'm like, what happened?
When inevitably the fist comes up through the top of the grave, I was kind of like, okay, now we're leaning a little bit too hard on your past catalogue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's a weird, cool homage, and then my brain clicks in and says, but we're in the MCU 20 years after Army of Darkness, where what is the... If you're going to do this, make some awesome scenes.
Sure.
And the rest of the Undead Strange stuff was not blow me away level cool. Like, he has a few cool moments, and then I'm like, why is he not? I don't know. It was all like good ideas that just never went to the level of excellence they should have been. Again, which is strange for an MCU movie. I don't know.
I would like to see an MCU movie where Benedict Wong actually gets a really decent character arc to go with.
He's always like a good core of the movies, but never, like you said, never really goes beyond just being a supporting guy.
Well, he did, he was in that Netflix show, Marco Polo, which unfortunately lasted 2 seasons. But he was really good in it. He was like, you know, whoa, here we go, this is what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Unfortunately, the MCU has got him hemmed into this particular role.
They could totally give him a TV series and he would be great. Like 8 episodes of just what does he do as the Sorcerer Supreme when not in the MCU movies.
What, a sort of sly, satirical, kind of comedic kind of vehicle just to kind of slightly poke holes at
At like
the
have a good, fun, you know, lightweight thing without the pressure of a movie and just make something good.
Yeah, no, definitely.
He's always good. And again, even in this, I thought he was not used enough in a thrilling way.
No, no, not at all. So, if we're recommending to people that they only go and see one multiverse movie this week.
Come on,
I think we know the answer. And even just on an entertainment level, I was having this conversation last night after watching Everything Everywhere All at Once. And the thing that was kind of being given back to me was like, Mark, you can't compare these two movies because one is just like a Marvel comic, you know, universe kind of vehicle. And this is like deep intellectual and go, yes, but it isn't. In fact, this is the indie movie that I would beseech Marvel fans to go and watch because they will be surprised at how entertaining it is and how thoughtful it is and how it manages to pull off both of these two contrasting sort of considerations.
Yeah, of course, I agree.
Yeah, but where did Marvel go from here?
I mean, they've already got their plans, whatever we say. And of course, I was thinking, no matter what we say, Marvel people are going to go see this movie anyway. I mean, Marvel fans, like, we couldn't say, don't go see this, though. They're going to anyway and make their mind of it. I'm curious to see if there's some sort of analysis about what's going on that I missed. You know, like, what it all means. But I also, you know, it also kind of reminded me of how bored I was by the Chloe Zhao movie.
Oh, The Eternals.
Where I was like, I just don't care about anyone in this. I don't care where it begins or ends. And this one kind of felt the same way. I'm like, where it begins and ends is kind of irrelevant in the grand
scheme
of things.
You kind of end up at the same place by the end. It's no surprise we end up at the opening scene at the end of the movie.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, and what is next for MCU? Because my biggest problem with that movie was that it just felt like shoehorning in ridiculously weird and uninteresting characters into an already existing universe of interesting characters. Like, I think I'm most excited for Thor.
Yes.
Because I think Taika is doing something original again with his own ideas, but I'm not sure what they do with Strange after this. I don't know. He was great in Spider-Man, and he was a better example of the new Tony Stark father figure for Peter Parker, but after this, I'm like, what? I don't know. Other than I think that the thing that I'm worried about, which is not that it's bad, is that they'll make him and America be the new MCU Peter Tony thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And that because it was clear that they had set her up, like, they'd given her an intro in this movie and she was going to have her own movie in the future, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm also confused by her character because it's a strange amount of her only ability is to open these doors of the multiverse and she doesn't know how to control this ability. And then the intro in this movie is like, oh, she was from this different world and her parents got sucked away. And
what happened to her parents? I think that's actually the more interesting thing.
Well, but that's what they're going to put in the next movie. I'm sure that's what they'll explore. Like, she'll find her parents. Kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing.
Yeah. But were you referring to Guardians Galaxy 2, Volume 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work for me, that film, at all. That was a mess.
Ah, okay.
That was a real mess.
Okay.
I mean, it